From the Cyber Hub bunker in studio, you're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Good morning, security gang. Welcome to another episode of the Cyber Hub podcast. How is everyone doing this morning? I hope you're having a good morning. It's chilly in the southeast. Like, we went from 70 degree weather to 30 degree weather in like 24 hours. So with that being said, thank you all for tuning in this morning. Thank you for being part of the show. We've got a packed one for all of y'all today. If you're looking at the headlines, we've got a lot to cover. So we're going to get right into it here in just a moment. But before we do that, check out our Substack, jamesazar.substack.com. It's where I write all kinds of things, cyber, non-cyber, and everything in the middle. You can get an insight into some of my thoughts, as well as some exclusive articles by subscribing to our Substack. Additionally, and something very, very keen, find us on your favorite podcast listening platform. Give us a follow and a subscribe there. And most importantly, tune in daily, 9 a.m. Eastern, for this live broadcast. And you can ask questions, give your comments. We see those. We answer questions. We do our best here. So join me for a double espresso this morning. I've got my coffee to power me through this morning's show. Whatever you're drinking, I hope you enjoy it and it powers you through this very, very busy week. Coffee cup cheers, y'all. Perfect. Let's kick off with some data breaches here, because there's a whole slew of them.
There is a security breach.
So Nations Direct Mortgage is starting to inform 83,000 of its customers that their personal information was compromised in a breach that occurred on December of last year. The incident, which was identified on December 30th and resulted in unauthorized access to certain systems containing client information and other Nation Direct data. They reveal names, addresses, social security numbers, and Nation Direct loan numbers. Now, here's something here. If you've got all this data, and this data is so easily accessible and readily available in a breach, we have to wonder, was this data encrypted? How was this data being handled? How is it that 83,000 records were just sitting there for the taking? Nation Direct claims it contained the incident shortly after it discovered it. This is obviously the notice to the Maine Attorney General's office. They have the strictest reporting laws, and as such, they're typically the first to know, and as such, we're the first to find out as well. So they're not the first mortgage company to be attacked. Fidelity National Financial was also attacked, and subsequently LoanCare, one of their subsidiaries, First American, LoanDepot, Mr. Cooper, and Prudential Financial. You have to wonder what all this means for the attackers and how they plan to take that data. So one key aspect of this is, if you're a victim of any of these breaches, which you know, they add up to the millions, and there are plenty of home ownership, and ownership is a great way to begin to build wealth for your family and for yourself and for your loved ones. Lock down your equity, title insurance, really, really important. Make sure you're freezing your credit reports, because what these attackers will try to do is say, there's a house here, it's got $400,000 in equity. Let's pull the equity out by pretending to be you. And so they'll do that. And then all of a sudden, you know, a year later, you find out your house is being foreclosed on for a loan you didn't take, and something to be mindful of as part of this attack. Japanese tech giant Fujitsu is now discovering that several of its systems were in fact infected by malware, and warns that attackers stole customer data. The company, the world's sixth largest IT service provider, employs 124,000 people, has an annual revenue of nearly $24 billion. The portfolio includes computing products like servers and storage system software, telecom equipment, and a range of services, including cloud solutions, system integration, and IT consulting services. They have a strong presence in the global market. They operate in over 100 countries. They've confirmed the presence of malware on several of their business computers. As a result, they've discovered that files containing personal information and information related to our customers could be illicitly removed. The firm hasn't received any reports of a misuse of customer data, but it's rarely used right off the bat. That's another very important thing. This follows an additional breach that happened back in 2021 for Fujitsu, this time on their Project Web information sharing tool, which was exploited to breached offices of multiple Japanese government agencies, allowing unauthorized access and stealing of 76,000 email addresses and proprietary data. All in all, a very, very troubling trend there. Now we'll move to AI hacking. And if you're wondering what AI hacking is, so many developers and so many people are adopting AI and are adopting AI very, very quickly. And a lot of it is done through either add-ons or specific sub-applications that power an application in order to increase operability, user experience, data collection, a whole bunch of stuff. Well, the AI hiring system Chatter that serves multiple organizations like Applebee's, Chick-fil-A, KFC, Subway, Taco Bell, Wendy's, is actually leaking due to a misconfiguration in Google Firebase. It's leaked 125 million user records, including plain text passwords, which shouldn't be the case. The weakness in Chatter's Firebase implementation allowed the researchers to gain full privilege to the database by registering a new user. They gain access to names, phone numbers, email addresses, plain text passwords for some accounts, confidential messages, and more. They created a new admin account that could gain access to the admin dashboard, provided more access to the system, including the option to refund payments to users. Chatter addressed the issue on January 10th, one day after the researchers reported it. Next, the researchers set out to identify other web applications exposing sensitive information via misconfigured Firebase instances and found 900 websites exposing the information of nearly 125 million users. So if you're a Firebase customer, this is a great call to action. You want to ensure that you're properly implementing it. The researchers say they tried to reach out to 842 websites, but only 85% of them, only 85% of their emails got through. One quarter of the sites addressed the misconfiguration, and only 1% emailed back, and only two site owners offered a bug bounty for the researchers. AI-powered code documentation firm Mintlify says customer GitHub tokens were compromised in a data breach caused by a vulnerability in its system, prompting it to launch a bug bounty program. In an incident notice on its website, the San Fran-based company says that 91 customer tokens were exposed in a data breach identified on the 1st of March of this year when it received a report of an issue and discovered unauthorized requests to its server. They noticed that some of these requests targeted sensitive API endpoints and were successful in their attempt. This unusual activity indicated that the actor behind these requests had possession of our private admin access tokens, granting them unauthorized access to their endpoints. After learning that a customer repository was accessed using GitHub tokens stored in its database, the company revoked all token access, rotated admin access tokens, and hardened the security of its APIs. API security gets you again, even in AI. So there's that, two of those breaches there keep you going. Now let's move to this one. So specifically, there's a new variant of this malware. And for those who don't know, Viasat is essentially a government-based, essentially satellite and internet communication network. The Russians used a wiper malware in order to disrupt that in the ongoing of the war 2 years ago against the Ukraine. Well, think of that as being what Stuxnet is to the ransomware and malware family today. Everything that we see from WannaCry to NotPetya to LockBit to all of those, that the foundation of all of that is Stuxnet. Well, the new variant of the wiper malware is now available online, and its new and improved version was discovered by the folks over at SentinelOne. On Saturday, the new variant of the malware was uploaded to VirusTotal, the malware information sharing platform, and it was spotted by Tom Hegel, the principal threat researchers at SentinelOne. Dubbed Asset Poor by Hegel and his colleagues, the new variant is concerning because its features could now be used as part of a larger service disruption by Russia and wipe the contents of not just modems, but a range of other devices, according to an email to CyberScoop on Monday. Wiper attacks have been a go-to for Russian attacks on Ukrainian government and private sector, and the software used to target Viasat shows that the Russian attackers are evolving their tools. While the original version was designed to wipe modems and routers, the updated software is far more capable. It's markedly different on the technical level. It has different architecture and new features. This time, the attacker can wipe RAID arrays and UBI, which could be used for a different level of impact and potentially even more difficult to prevent and recover from. This is system memory functions. That's what RAID and UBI mean. It appears to updated the malware could be used to target memory and embedded devices, components within larger systems, including IoT network devices, and maybe some ICS systems as well. So all in all, we see Russia really advancing those capabilities and need to be on the lookout for those. But China on their end aren't sitting by and just randomly watching. A sophisticated campaign attributed to a Chinese APT group known as Earth Krahang has breached 70 organizations and targeted at least 116 across 45 different countries. Researchers at Trend Micro monitored the activity. The campaign has been underway since at least last 2 years ago, and it focuses on primarily on government organizations. The attackers compromised 48 government organizations, 10 of which are foreign affairs ministries, and targeted another 49 government agencies all in all. The attacker exploited vulnerable internet-facing servers and used spear phishing emails to deploy custom backdoors for cyber espionage. The threat actors employ open source tools to scan public-facing servers for specific vulnerabilities like CVE-2023-32315 to open fire CVE and CVE-2022-21587 to control a web panel. They exploit those flaws. They drop web shells to gain unauthorized access and establish persistence within victim network. They've retrieved hundreds of email addresses from their targets during the reconnaissance phase. In one case, the actor used a compromised bell box from a government entity to send a malicious attachment to 796 email addresses belonging in the same entity. They haven't given details over those, but you can see the whole diagram. The TTPs and IOCs are all available in the show notes. Definitely worth wordy. It's definitely worthwhile to check out. Now, the U.S. is still chasing down Vault Typhoon and its targeting of American critical infrastructure. According to the NSA, the federal agencies are not done with efforts to uncover or eradicate the Chinese threats to critical infrastructure, according to Rob Joyce, the outgoing director of NSA Cybersecurity Directorate. This was in a roundtable on Friday of last week. Investigators are still finding victims and making sure to clear out intrusions nearly almost a year after it was initially disclosed. Joyce also acknowledged for the first time that the government used AI to discover some of the breaches made during the campaign, noting that Vault Typhoon activity was difficult to initially identify because the group steals and generates legitimate credentials and doesn't bring additional malware into the system. They rather gain persistence, sit there and drop the malware when they want to. So we'll see how this continues to go, and we'll keep you appraised to it. The DoD on Friday announced that it had processed over 50,000 reports as part of its continuous vulnerability disclosure program launched in November of 2016. A first in the history of federal government, the program was initiated following a successful hack the Pentagon bug bounty program running on HackerOne, which was followed by similar programs for the Air Force, Marine Corps, Army, and Defense Travel System assets. Since then, the DoD has ran over 40 bug bounty programs in collaboration with HackerOne, BuckCrowd, and SNAC, and launched a continuous Hack the Pentagon bug bounty program allowing white hat hackers to submit vulnerability reports all year long. In 2021, the DoD launched a 12-month bug bounty program aimed at finding flaws in contractor networks, which saved them an estimate of $61 million in taxpayer money by addressing over 1,000 vulnerabilities in Pentagon's Cyber Crime Center, DC3. So at the end of 2022, close to 45,000 vulnerability reports were received from roughly 4,000 researchers that are participating in the program. More than 25,000 of the reports were actionable and over 6,000 of them were successfully mitigated, according to the Pentagon. Again, collaboration in security is what matters. 3 months after the SEC's material breach rule has been dropped, and yet there's still no clear understanding of what material breach actually means. The SEC's kind of leaving that up to interpretation. So far, we've seen that the quantitative factors include business operations, including duration of the incident, business segment impacted, loss of IP or data, impacts on any sort of financial performance or earnings, including revenue, stock price, or divergence from prior forecasts, IR and containment expenses, including ransom payments, legal fees, future insurance costs, and forensic analysis, and so forth. So a lot are updating their 8-Ks continuously in order to stay out of the hairs of the SEC. So we'll see how this continues to play out. 3 months in, still no direction. And finally, Cisco completed its acquisition of Splunk for $28 billion. the Splunk stock ceased to trade yesterday and has now become part of the Cisco family. Congratulations to the folks over at Splunk. Congratulations to Cisco. Market consolidation, that's always a thing. That's it for our show this morning. We'll be back tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern, with all the latest and greatest. Thank you all for tuning in. Please make sure to subscribe, check out our Substack, and most importantly, stay cyber safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.